Let's get back to part two of the National Radio Club's DX audio service for March 1991 and the musings for members.
This is Clarence Cordray, once again reporting from Canton, Ohio, reporting a few new things that have happened in the radio situation in this area. First of all, WKNR at 1220 in Cleveland, Ohio, has 15 hours of sports programming from 3 p.m. till 6 a.m. and from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. they have the oldies channel. Next, the Cleveland Browns have a new flagship station, and that will be WHK at 1420 in Cleveland. And finally, in Norwalk, Ohio, WLKR at 1510 has changed call letters to WDAC. So that's it for now. From Canton, Ohio, this is Clarence Cordray.
Greetings, Fred, and to everybody else on the DX Audio Service, Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, calling here on February 14th, and happy Valentine's Day to you all. There is a call letter change here in Boston. 98.5 WROR is no more as of last Friday. It is now called Mix 98.5, but the new call letters will be WBMX as soon as approval comes down. That will might not be for a while, but again, note the difference. Note the change in call letters. WBMX 98.5 in Boston.
Hi, Fred, and other audio service subscribers. This is Doug Hunsinger in Silver Spring, Maryland. As noted on an earlier edition of AM Switch, WINX in Rockville has not changed call letters. I wonder what the word is on that. They're still WINX, and they're playing 40 years of Top 40. That's what their current slogan is. So they play a little bit of everything, you know, oldies, new stuff that works. Also, WPGC's new nighttime operation is not heard here in Silver Spring. I was on the train in New Carrollton, Maryland a couple weeks ago, which is closer to their transmitter site, and it still didn't put in a bang-up signal there even. So I don't know what they're hoping to accomplish by this new nighttime power, but it certainly isn't serving this area very well at all. Also, I'm wondering, maybe Fred, you might want to have this thrown out as a question. I'm wondering what generally people use for radios when they travel, what kind of portable equipment they travel with. I know a lot of people are going to say the GE Super Radio, although that's pretty big, but that's one of the best AMs for its price. But I'm wondering what other people use, why they use the particular radio they use, and what kind of price range is it. So I don't know. It's just a question I thought might be good. I'd like to see more discussions on equipment, what people think is good and what people think isn't regarding medium wave broadcast. That's all from here. As usual, you guys put out a good product, and I'll talk to you later.
Well, hello, DXers. This is Marty Rimpaugh here in Oakland. Some 700 days and 1 hour elapsed, and an epic began and ended. That's right, March 17th, 1989, at 5 a.m., Pirate Radio signed on the air, and February 14th, 6 a.m., Pirate Radio, 1991, that is, February 14th, today, 6 a.m., Pirate Radio died. They fired Scott Shannon earlier this week, and there are no on-air jocks at this time. They're just playing album-oriented tracks with liners. I usually don't talk about FM stations, but this is the first I was proud to be a tracker for Pirate Radio. I mean, not actually for them, but I took an interest in them, and it was a rather innovative format, and I'm kind of sorry to see it go, but it is no more. They're just playing harder-edged album cuts right now, and the rumor is that they will not have any jocks for 30 days. I don't know how true that is. But anyway, that's the scoop for right now. 700 days and 1 hour. An epic begins and ends. That's all for now. Happy DX.
Hi, Fred. This is Gary Kettler in Austin, Texas. And a couple of things happening in the area of Texas. Apparently, the 1190 in Dallas is using the call KU as an uniform II. Earlier, somebody said they had heard them use KLAM. They were using KLAF, Lima Alpha Foxtrot. Also, KSEV 700 in Tomball, Texas, which is outside of Houston, is getting ready to build a new tower and go, I think, to 25,000 watts during the day, and that they said on the air that that should be happening in about 60 days. That's it from here.
And before we end this edition of the Musings for Members, I'd like to make a quick couple of notes. First of all, on CHYR, the reason that they were on Nighttime 710 was a coil went haywire in their GE transmitter, which they use on 730 kilohertz. That transmitter is quite old, and they had to have someone custom make the coil for the transmitter to get it back up on the air. So CHYR was on 710 due to some technical problems. As far as missing stations in the market scope, there's only one way to solve that problem, and that is if you contribute to the market scope, be sure to send in all the stations, or at least acknowledge them, or make some reference to where you are recording them. Contrary to popular belief, Phil Wayne does not travel to all those areas and record those stations personally. So if you contribute to market scope, please be sure you get all the stations covered. And suggestion was made about a nice topic for our next Musings for Members, being what kind of radio do you use when you travel? I'd like to know about that. Why not give us a call on the Action Line, area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day. Now here's a man who's got a smile on his face 24 hours a day. He must be doing something. Here's Phil Wayne.
Hi, Tuner Tweakers. Phil Wayne back once again with Market Scope, the monthly audio column that scans the bands and mocks the jocks. Now, as you may remember, we're in Chicago with guest host Mark Marino, and I see Mark is ready to tackle all those 50,000-watt FMs.
This is Mark Marino on the DX Audio Service, and welcome to another Market Scope. This time, we're going to be listening to Chicago's FM dial. And at 92.3, we have a religious station that's been around for over 20 years, in fact, about 25 years, playing Christian programming. They were doing a lot of music programming for a while, but now they've gone back to strictly these half-hour programs. Their call letters are WYCA, and they're owned by Crawford Communications at 92.3, and they're 50,000 watts, transmitting from Burnham, Illinois. At 93.1, we have a station that's been doing an AOR format since 1974. WXRT.
Those are the Replacements from their Tim record and Hold My Life, because they just might lose it. Who did The Seeker? It was Red Hot Chili Peppers with Higher Ground, and we hit it off after that Smithereens concert for the kids with Jimi Hendrix, Fire, 93XRT. We're just about set to get the big beat underway, but we'll do this first.
As you know, Augsburger beer is brewed right here in America.
And this is 93WXRT Chicago. It's 10 o'clock on a Thursday night.
The big beat, the big beat, the big beat, the biggest of them all. Rock and roll.
Come on, everybody.
I'm sitting here, my ears are falling off from
thank you, man.
All that shouting. All that noise. All that noise.
The big beat, the big beat. Listen.
Very good evening and welcome to the show. We've got some really tremendous sounds coming your way and we hope you're going to enjoy it. So clean out your locals, pin back your ears and listen, because off we jolly well go.
Yeah, do all that old codger suggested and stay warm. The Big Beat is on the air, 93 XRT Radio Chicago. Big Beat brought to you by Cabaret Metro, 3730 North Clark. We'll tell you about some things they got coming up. We'll also be telling you about some things going on at some other clubs, and we'll play selections from Grant Hart's new solo album. He's the Husker Du drummer, ex-Husker Du drummer, and he writes some pretty good songs. Also, Marry My Hope, an L.A. band, have a CD EP, and we'll start off tonight with Lena Lovitch, who hasn't been heard from in 6 years. Her new record's called March. This is Wonderland.
I remember our next station as WWEL, and for years it was Beautiful Music, and under the call WLAK. Now it's WLIT.
Light FM 93.9 WLIT, and Gary Puckett in the Union Gap there, and Woman, also Luther Vandross, and There's Nothing Better Than Our Love. Heard from Rita Coolidge, We're All Alone, and Lionel Richie started us off there with Ballerina Girl. A look at Chicagoland weather next on The Light. Light FM Chicagoland weather from the National Weather Service. Sunny and warmer today, high of about 40. And low tonight in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, maybe up into the lower 40s. 27 at both airports, also 27 downtown now with lots of sunshine at Light FM. It's a little bit after 9 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Bob Brinson with another hour of back-to-back light music on the new Light FM. 93.9 WLIT FM Chicago.
On July 12, 1965, 94.7 became WLS-FM. It played MOR music from noon until midnight, and they were off the air the other 12 hours of the day. In 1971, it became WDAI with AOR music, and later, it became Disco. After another caller changed to WRCK, it became WLS-FM again for another 5 years. And then in 1986, they took up their present call and their present format, WYTZ.
And at 9:05 on a Tuesday morning with a Z95 News Update, I'm Wayne Mesmer.
Z95, your station for the 90s. With the most money.
Two could win $1,095 in cash in the Z95 Call for Cash contest. Listen for the touchtone, the play.
Z95 WYTC Chicago.
To life.
Z95, Chicago's hit music station, 9:35. It's Welch and Woody in the morning. Why is everybody calling asking about this Noriega song?
Well, it's a big hit, and you won't play the whole thing all the way through.
I won't play it at all. It's Welch, not Woody.
Funky Noriega.
We'll play it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we'll play it again, all right.
Z95.
Let me take you to a place I know you want to go. It's a good life.
It used to be a top 40 station, WDHF. Then in 1976, the call letters became WMET. In the mid-1980s, the call letters were WRXR, and they ran a progressive format. After that, they ran classic hits. Now, it's smooth jazz, WNUA.
WNUA 95.5. We started the set with Chris Christian,
Trinity Road and then Nelson Rangel. You know, waiting for an answer. Don't want to be normal, Ms. Randy Crawford. From a motion picture called Wildcats, which was supposedly filmed in the Chicago suburb of Glen Ellen. It's 9:27. Listen to WNUA 95.5 while you work. Each weekday, we give you 56 minutes of smooth jazz every hour, 9 to 5. That's what we've been working on.
WNUA 95.5.
At 96.3, WBBM-FM became an album rock station in late 1970. But since May of 1982, they've been highly successful at contemporary hit radio.
Wind chill 28 below. I'm Tommy Edwards on B96.
WBBM-FM in Chicago at 6 o'clock. You know, Tommy, you had the story about the whiner of the year. Do you guys get tired of these year-end little surveys that people have, like the whiner of the year, the best dressed, the worst dressed?
Ben, yeah. There is a top 10 of everything.
Yeah.
You know what? If we had to have the number one whiner of the year, 1989 in Chicago, there's only one person we could give it to.
Who's that?
Coach Ditka. Am I right? Hey, 591 hits. What do you think? Is Ditka the whiner of the year in Chicago? Yes or no? What do you think?
Hey, baby. What? You got to remember. What do I have to remember?
Years later, they had the number three selling album of the year, 1989, Eddie. About 4 million copies. Paula Abdul at B96.
Paula Abdul.
She's that dancing fool.
Yeah.
In the season of Yule. Oh, I like that. A little addenda for playing with your tool.
B96 is WBBM-FM, Chicago.
I've waited for this moment for such a long time.
B96 and Bobby Brown, I would have rocked with you, baby.
Yeah.
6:10, 10 minutes after 6 with the Ed Volkman, Joe Bohannon Show. Eddie V and Joe Bo, the hot morning team for 1990.
Hey, by the way, we're going to end off 1989 with a bang. We're going to be on TV. B96 and Channel 2 present All Night Party.
WNIB is at 97.1 FM, and they've been classical for over 30 years. But at night, they have a blues show and a soul oldies show, in addition to some other things on the weekends.
Fitzko Cheeto was the pianist in that recording of the Piano Sonata No. 3 in B minor, Opus 58, by Chopin. Time is 3:44. This is Miller Peters. We hate to say that on the hour, but I'll say it right now. In a moment on Classical 97, we're going to be hearing a flute concerto by Vivaldi. You're listening to WNIB.
It started out as the Station with the Girls, WSDM, smack dab in the middle. But in 1977, they became WLUP and have been basically playing album rock ever since.
Big Finish. Greg Lake of Emerson, Lake & Palmer on the Loop FM 98. Tune called I Believe in Father Christmas. We get the Christmas we deserve. Is that the message there? Emerson, Lake & Palmer doing Lucky Man from their first. Also music from Van Halen in that 45-minute nonstop music marathon. Springsteen with Rosalita, one of the best of 89, Tom Petty. And Love is a Long Road. Music from The Who, Alarm, Sold Me Down the River. Some Jackson Brown and some Stevie Guitar Miller. Benson putting together the 45-minute nonstop music marathon for you. On this Sunday afternoon, we have rock and roll coming up, something new from Rush. We've also got great stuff coming up for you tonight on our Sunday Night at 9 special. For the holidays, why don't you tune into The Loop FM and hear about the making of two great classic rock and roll albums. In our first hour, beginning at 9 o'clock tonight, you're going to hear from the guys in The Doors talking about the making of the album L.A. Woman. And in the second hour, Ian Anderson talks to us about the making of Jethro Tull's benefit album. So it's The Doors and Tull, Sunday night at 9. We're going in the studio to take a listen to these great records on The Loop.
UFMT is also classical music at 98.7 FM, and they do play mostly classical, except for a program they're also very famous for, a folk music program called the Saturday Night Special.
Three sections from the opera Aleko by Sergei Rachmaninoff, the introduction, the dance of the women, and the intermezzo. Yevgeny Svetlanov leading the USSR Symphony Orchestra. Tonight at 9:30 on From the Recording Horn, Andy Karsis presents the first of two programs devoted to singers born 100 years ago. And then at 10:15 on Collector's Item, Don Tate presents recordings by the Boston Symphony, led by Serge Koussevitzky, music of Bach, Liszt, Stravinsky, and Rachmaninoff. It's 12 o'clock. You're listening to WFMT, 98.7 FM, Chicago's fine art station. And now here is the news brought to you by Four Winds Chicago.
That puts the wraps on another month. Next time, we'll see how much trouble we can get into. Now, speaking of trouble, just look at this guy. Is this trouble or what?
Historical moments in... hey, now, wait a minute. Hold it, Phil. Doggone it, Fred. What am I going to do? I'm supposed to be doing these things straight. And after an introduction like that, I can't do it straight. Now, come on. We'll take it from the top. Let me collect myself.
Historical moments in radio, recalling events in the development of modern radio broadcasting. Hello again, I'm John Bowker. And looking back over the historical moment programs we've had during the past couple of years, I'm struck with the number that relate to the politics and the government regulations that control AM broadcasting. So I thought it might be a good idea to spend a few minutes this month presenting an overview of the agencies that are involved with all these radio decisions. In the United States, of course, the primary focus is on the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, and its regulations. In Canada, broadcast regulations are under the wing of the Department of Communications, and more precisely, it is the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission of the DOC that regulates broadcasting in Canada. In most other countries, it's a branch of their post office operations that controls broadcasters. Now, all these government agencies have to know what the others are doing, because radio signals have a habit of crossing political boundaries. To keep things straight, there's an international body called the International Telecommunications Union, headquartered at Geneva, Switzerland, and yes, it is an arm of the United Nations. Now, at this time, 164 nations of the world, and that's about all the civilized countries, have signed a treaty with the ITU that their local radio regulations will conform to the ITU radio regulations. All countries of the Western Hemisphere have signed the treaty, and indeed the rules and regulations of the FCC conform to the ITU regulations. Of course, from time to time, there are changes needed in the rules, and these are handled by regional ITU conferences or even worldwide ITU conferences. All countries send representatives to the conferences, and whatever they agree to is passed along to each nation in the form of a treaty to be ratified. FCC rules, for instance, must be changed to agree with any new ITU regulations, assuming that the Congress and the President sign the treaty. Now, this is a particularly important matter right now because preparations are well underway for the 1992 World Administrative Radio Conference. Now, they call that the 1992 WARC, W-A-R-C. One of the key issues to be discussed will be the new digital audio broadcasting matter. Now, at this time, the U.S. is undecided just what positions it'll take, but we all recognize that as this DAB comes on, there's going to be less need for AM and FM radio stations. And it appears the DAB will be coming on, starting within about 10 years. The Canadians are talking about launching the new service within 5 years and doing it from satellites. The United States is anxious to maintain a more local type of service than can be offered by satellites, at least as pleasantly planned. So maybe we'll see a mix of land-based and satellite-based stations. The main point of this column this month, therefore, is to alert you to the meaning of WARC and its terrific importance to us all. Now, on a lighter side, perhaps hidden in all of this, is an anecdote I haven't told on these microphones in some time. You have to start by understanding the FCC only controls about half the stations in this country. Did you know that? That's right. The FCC has nothing to do with stations operated by the federal government, such as military stations or, you know, the Secret Service and all those other agency radios. They're regulated by a group called the NTIA in the Department of Commerce. And it became real funny when the time came for the Navajos to build a 10-watt FM station for their people in Arizona. They just wanted to cover their own local area, of course. Administratively, the Indians come under the Department of Interior, and it took a long time to straighten out just who was going to have oversight for the proposed station. But it finally got built. The FCC assigned the call sign, KNCC, still on the air, and the Department of Interior appointed a board of regents at the Navajo College in that town as overviewers of the station itself. So here it goes. Over the years, during the month of March, we've seen a lot of new stations come on the air. We were just speaking of Arizona. We should note that KBLU signed on in March 1940 in Yuma, Arizona. And Greenville, South Carolina awoke one spring morning in 1947 to the powerful sound of WESC. And in Jackson, Kentucky in 1969, WEKG came on the air with its full-time operations. But we have to go all the way back to March 25th, 1922 to commemorate the beginnings of a premier voice in Portland, Oregon, KGW. Happy anniversary to them all. I'm John Bowker for Historical Moments in Radio, and we'll see you next month.
And greetings once again, New Year's greetings, I should probably say, since this is my first column of 1991. Laura McCusker back once again with the latest and hottest radio ratings results. These fall ratings are from the Arbitron Ratings Service. And this time around, believe it or not, there's actually good news for the AM band. I have the ratings for 11 major cities and Albany in front of me. And astonishingly enough, in six of them, an AM station was in first place with the highest ratings for the market. And in two other cities, AM-FM combos were in first. Lots of well-known sets of call letters that DXers will easily recognize top the ratings in these cities. ACWGN 720 in Chicago scored a 9-3 share in the autumn of 1990, handily beating out number 2 urban WGCI-FM, which posted a 7-2 share. In Philadelphia, News 1060 KYW was tops with an 8-8 share, besting AORWMMR-FM with a 7-6 share. In Boston, News Talk WRKO 680 edged out CHRWZOU-FM for the top spot, scoring a 7-9 share to ZOU's 7-2. Perennially strong, News Talker 810 KGO in San Francisco was again whipping the competition with an 8-3 share, their closest second being nostalgia-formatted KFRC, which managed only a 5-3. In the Motor City, AC Powerhouse WJR 760, who scored a high 8-9 last summer, slipped to a 7-8 share in the autumn, but they were still number one over urban WJLB-FM, which posted a 7-2 share. And in St. Louis, Talker 1120 KMOX demolished the competition as usual with a 17 share over the summer. They went down slightly to a 16-6 in the fall, but they still embarrassed all their competition. Easy listening KEZK-FM was the closest threat with a high 7-9 share. And the two cities with simulcasters on top, New York City, where easy listening WPAT, AM and FM scored a 5-7 share to barely edge out urban WRKS KISS-FM, who had a 5-6. And here in Albany, WROW, AM and FM, after taking a bit of a dump in the last book, rebounded from a 7-9 share in the summer to a 10-9 share in the fall, taking the top spot over CHRWFLY-FM, which posted a 10-2 share. Exactly why AM suddenly came on so strong is an impossible question to answer. Nobody can predict these things, but it's nice to see them happen sometimes. There's probably a huge surge in AM listening in the past month or so because of the outbreak of war and the fact that AM tends to be more information-oriented. And that will probably show up in the ratings for the first quarter of this year. And who knows, maybe some of those listeners who turned over to AM for the war news will stay there with the AM band even after the war is hopefully soon over and the need for immediate information ceases. It would be nice to think AM and FM could possibly compete equally together ratings-wise on an even footing, but AM as underdog is so ingrained in so many people's minds these days it would take a lot of doing. The image of AM radio just isn't equal to FM in the average listener's opinion, and the fact is, from a money standpoint, it's just easier to go out on the street and sell commercial time on an FM station than an AM. But AM is still alive and kicking, and it's nice to see every once in a while that it has these victories. AM, I always theorize, kind of like a cockroach. It'll always survive no matter what's thrown at it. Kind of like the movies, too. You know, everybody said with the VCRs that going to the movies would be passé, but it certainly has not happened. So there you go. Incidentally, here's how things stack up in the four cities without AMs on top. Out in L.A., ACKOST-FM was on top with a 5.5 share, followed by CHR Simulcasters KIIS AM and FM with a 5.1. AM-wise, Talker 790 KABC was in fifth place with a 4.3 share. In Houston, Country KIKK-FM was tops with an 8.4 share, and Urban Dance Music was next with KMJQ-FM in second with a 7.9 share. CHR was tops in the nation's capital with WPGC-FM taking the top spot with an 8.1 share in D.C., and easy listening WGAY-FM was a distant second with a 6.8 share. Country Combo, WMZQ, AM and FM were next with a 6.4. And in Dallas-Fort Worth, country was what most were listening to no one's surprise, with KSCS scoring an even 10 share to take the number one spot. AC Combo, KVIL, AM and FM were next with an 8.5. And country music was also third, with KPLX posting a 7.4 share. That about does it for this time around. Remember, if you have any ratings info that you'd like to contribute to this column, just send them to me, Laura McCusker, at WROW Radio, 341 Northern Boulevard, Albany, New York, 12204. Have a nice spring, and good DX to all.
Thank you very much, Laura. And now let's switch it from the state of New York out to Colorado. Wayne, are you there?
I'm here, Fred.
And how are you doing out in Colorado these days?
Well, we're doing pretty good. It's a nice day out here. It's about 40 degrees with a lot of sunshine, just a little bit of a breeze.
Oh, not bad, not bad at all. Tell you, what's up on the CPC calendar for this edition?
Well, we've got four tests coming up for the month of March. We're going to start with KTIB 640. The address is box 682. And it's Thibodaux, spelled T-H-I-B-I-D-A-U-X, Louisiana. Zip is 70301, and they'll be conducting a test on Monday morning, March 11th, between 02 and 0400 Eastern Time, and the test will include Morse code IDs. The signer for that is Mr. Ray Saadi, spelled S-A-A-D-I. He's the general manager there. Then we move on to KBBW 1010. Their address is 1019 Washington, Waco, Texas, 76701. They'll be having a test on March 16th, and it's going to run from 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. Eastern Time, and the test will feature music, voice, and Morse code IDs. And our thanks go to Mr. Bernard Howell, and his first name is spelled B-E-R-N-A-R-R, last name H-O-W-E-L-L, and he's the chief engineer at KBBW. From there we go to Monday morning, March 18th, WNLC 1510. Their address is 90 Foster Road, Waterford, Connecticut, 06385. And this test will be conducted from 0400 to 0430 Eastern Time, and it will contain Morse IDs. And the signer for that is Mr. Stephen, spelled with a P-H, Keefe, K-E-E-F-E. He's an engineer there, and we also need to thank his wife, Phyllis, for confirming the test on the phone with us this past Monday morning. The last test is one of the rare K-calls on the other side of the Mississippi River, KTGG 1540, and their address is Spring Arbor College, then that's Spring Arbor, Michigan, 49283. This test will be conducted on Saturday morning, March 23rd, from 0430 to 0500 Eastern Time, And our thanks go to Mr. Edmond, spelled M-O-N-D, Trombley, spelled T-R-O-M-B-L-E-Y. And he's the chief engineer there at KTGG. Many of you might recall that was the call that had some controversy back in 85 when all of a sudden it was assigned to an AM station in Michigan. So that one ought to be a rather interesting one, and hopefully they'll get out well. And basically that's going to wrap up the courtesy program calendar for 1991, primarily due to the skip weeks going to bi-weekly in DX News.
Mm-hmm.
We felt that it's just a little too late to continue to send out letters, and we may or may not end up with one or two more tests as they kind of straggle in. But most of those will be available to those audio service members who also subscribe to DX News.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question about something which we touched on just prior to talking here, and that is your interference. You said you had some interference out in your way?
Yes. I've got a problem with some kind of a noise coming in on my public service company lines. I looked for something in my house by shutting off breakers and using my TRF until all of a sudden I had turned the entire house off, and we found that the noise was available at the pedestal using the TRF. So the public service service advisor was out, and I'll be doing some work this afternoon and this evening contacting all 12 of my neighbors who share my transformer, and hopefully we'll be able to isolate it. We have a funny feeling from the tape that I had played for the service rep that it was somebody's photoelectric cell, because it turns on at dusk, turns off at dawn, and ruins the band from 5:30 up to about 1,200 to 1,300. So it kind of has limited my DX lately, and it's very interesting because I've heard many rumors about how difficult power companies are to work with, and I called them on one morning, and they were out the following afternoon on an appointment with me. And so hopefully I'll get that cleaned up, and I'll be able to get back to doing some DXing before the season is over.
You know, something which I think maybe you can confirm is here in Lima, I've had a couple times problems with noise on the line. As it turns out, it's been what they call bell insulators. Those are the insulators which look like a bell fastened sideways on the pole. And here in Lima, I've had like three of them in the backyard go nuts and proceed to buzz and crackle. And in fact, during your interview, while you were doing the CPCs, you could hear some crackling on the phone line, which is likely an insulator, because 2 days ago, the noise started up again. And for me, it's a double threat, because not only does it take out the AM band, but it also takes out a good portion of the ham bands from 40 meters all the way up into 10 meters. And I suppose you're probably having the same thing even on some of the other frequencies besides the AM band.
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I do a lot of listening in the marine bands. I'm ex-Coast Guard, and I kind of like to chase the Coast Guard stations. And I've had some problems there. The area I'm in is fairly new, and it's basically underground utilities. And the problem that they have here, and it's been solved a couple times. In fact, another NRC-er, Rob Harrington, had a problem in his apartment complex that turned out to be one of these lamps that you can clamp on and clap off. And it was very intermittent.
Hmm.
It took the public service people about a month to find it. And they were able to clean up Rob's problem for him. And mostly what we have is defective devices like that that are in violation of the FCC Part 15. And these devices will feed back into the secondary of the public service company's transformers. And anyone who is on that transformer will have that noise in their house.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the house next door, which I'm taking care of, for my neighbor, and I took my TRF over and turned it on inside his house, and lo and behold, same noise is right there inside his house.
So he's got exactly the same thing as you have.
Right, and if you walk outside, you won't get it, because basically it's on the lines, and your house wiring acts as an antenna.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically rebroadcasting this within your house.
So what you did is went out to the pedestal and were able to find it right there in your backyard.
Right, finding it at the pedestal,
mm-hmm,
with my house turned off. And that told us two things. It told us, one, it is on the lines of public service.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it told us that the interference was not being generated within my residence,
mm-hmm.
which was very important because I do have a light that I do know causes interference. So when I'm DXing, of course, I have the kitchen light turned off. It's a fluorescent and sounds like the ballast is on the way out.
Yeah.
And that I always turn that off when I'm DXing, but the other noise, of course, is still there.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that you went out to the pedestal and were able to find it, because that's exactly how I was able to determine that the power lines were causing my problem. I had, like I said, this raspy noise. Basically, it was just arcing is what it was. And at nighttime, if it was really bad, you could look up and actually see between the insulator and the mount. You could see a little blue spark jump and hear it on the radio. But the way I actually tracked it down to what pole it was on was by taking a loop antenna on a Sony ICF-2010 and just walking around, and finally walked up to a pole where there's a ground wire that came down the side of the pole, and it just, you know, pegged the meter right over with noise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good lesson, I guess, that everyone on the DX Audio Service should think about if they ever have any noises, is look at where the noise possibly might be coming from, and it could be coming in on the power lines.
Right. And the best test for that was given to me by this public service representative was to just go ahead and kill the main breaker to your own house and just go out and check at your meter where it comes in. And if you've still got the noise with your house breaker turned off, then you know it's coming in on their lines.
That's very good advice indeed. Wayne, thanks a lot, and thank you for all those fantastic CPC tests this past winter.
Well, Jeff and I have really enjoyed it, and we hope to continue next year with the same program. Of course, the only problem is we're now going to be asking for 58 cents a letter instead of 50 cents a letter.
Mm-hmm.
But we are looking forward to cranking up our letters probably in August, targeting late September, and just like we did this year. And we'll be putting a request out through the DX Audio Service and through DX News sometime in the summer, and start soliciting both the funds and the targets so that we can get off the ground.
Okay. Thank you very much.
It'll be probably won't be on this tape unless something new and exciting comes up, and I'll drop you something. But this should probably be it for the DX season unless we get somebody that we feel like we can schedule in April. We probably won't have any more, but it's been a good season, and I was glad to see that quite a few people were able to hear quite a few of the tests.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Okay, Fred.
That was Wayne Heinen from out in Aurora, Colorado, and him and Jeff Tynan are in charge of the CPC tests, and I think that all of us owe Wayne and Jeff a great big pat on the back for all the hard work that they've done on this year's CPC tests. Now, before we get a lot of cards and letters written to the DX Audio Service about why John Bowker messed up on the historical moments in radio, we decided to leave that in on the edition just to kind of break the monotony, as well as remind you that this next edition of the DX Audio Service will be our anniversary edition. That's right, in 1985, April of 1985 to be exact, is when the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service first started. And it has been kind of a tradition throughout the years that we put together kind of an April Fool's edition, some funny bits, some funny things. So what you might want to also do when you call up the action line is if you have a interesting story about your radio, perhaps some information on what kind of radio you use on your travels, what you might also want to think about at the same time is maybe a humorous story about DXing. What kind of funny things happened to you while you were DXing? Or maybe something funny that you heard on the radio. And if you have something that's kind of funny that came off the radio, you might want to send it to us. Now, our address here at the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service to send tapes to is 706 McKenzie. That's M-A-C, capital K-E-N-Z-I-E. And it's in Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. And you can send it on cassette, and please send it at normal cassette speed, either monophonic or a stereo. Or you can send it to us on reel-to-reel. We can accept 3 3/4, 7 1/2 on a quarter track, or 7.5/15 IPS on half track, either mono or stereo. Please, no 8-track recordings or the 15/16s. We don't have any way of playing those back, but cassette and reel-to-reel is perfectly acceptable. And that does it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for March 1991. We'll be back in 30 days with another edition and, of course, more DX from your favorite DX club.
Of the next edition of the DX Audio Service, we'll hear from Stereo Star with the AM Switch column. John Bowker will look at 750. Bill Harrell will have DX Bill Jess. That's tricky. And Phil Way will have Market Scope. Phil's such a bimbo.
This concludes WTOB's Day of Broadcast Operations. WTOB is owned and operated by Sportone Communications Incorporated. WTOB is licensed by the Federal Communications Commission to operate at an AM frequency of 1380 kilohertz at a daytime power of 5,000 watts. WTOB is affiliated with the Satellite Music Network, the ABC Radio Network, and with the North Carolina News Network. WTOB is a member of the National Association of Broadcasters, and we will return to the air at 6 a.m.
WTOB, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Depend on it.